dealt with several items in our agenda under item 13E. We're initiated litigation. So with that, we will go on to the next item, item 7, the report from Sonoma County Water Agency on stream maintenance program. And I don't know if staff want to introduce John, or we'll just have John come forward. And
John Newhouse, Water Board, Sonoma County Water Agency. They've been engaged in a very interesting program that will affect how we interact with them on their stream maintenance program. It's a very innovative approach, and we're pretty excited, so wanted to share that.
Thank you, and good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. My name is John Niehaus. I'm the stream maintenance coordinator for the Sonoma County Water Agency, and thank you for this opportunity to provide an informational presentation to you regarding the agency's stream maintenance program. The agency has been working with regional board staff on the development of this program for over 3 years. This presentation will cover program backgrounds and goals, program development, program activities, impact avoidance and mitigation measures, program permitting, and next steps. The reason for pursuing a programmatic approach to stream maintenance is because project-by-project permitting has been inefficient, time-consuming, costly, and unpredictable, and project-by-project permitting did also not consider program-wide efficiencies, impact avoidance approaches, and benefits. Additionally, development of such a program was the recommended approach by regional board staff for future stream maintenance permitting. The goals for the stream maintenance program are to enable flood management through effective maintenance, avoid and minimize environmental impacts from maintenance activities, enhance and restore natural resources and habitats in channels, and provide a basis for regulatory compliance, and provide a basis for long-term permitting. The stream maintenance program development process included forming an interagency working group in 2006, conducting stream and resource inventories, defining maintenance activities and impact avoidance, minimization, and mitigation measures, developing interim permits during 2006 through 2007, and refining program approaches based on project experience. A draft stream maintenance program manual was published in January 2009, and a draft EIR was published in January of 2009 as well. The final EIR is currently in preparation, and we've applied for program permits in February of 2009. Each step of this process was conducted with guidance and oversight from regional board staff. The interagency working group included representatives from the North Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board, the San Francisco Bay Regional Water Quality Control Board, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, National Marine Fisheries Service, California Department of Fish and Game, and Environmental Protection Agency. The IAWG has guided the program since inception, has provided an excellent forum for cross-agency informing, and the interim permitting process was used to develop and refine the program. The 2007 through 2008 permitting process was used to develop and refine a detailed mitigation approach. One of the primary purposes for the agency's creation in 1949 was flood control. In 1958, the formation of 9 geographical zones, each encompassing a major watershed, was proposed as a means of financing the construction and maintenance of flood control works within Sonoma County. The Central Sonoma Watershed Project is the principal flood control facilities on the tributaries of the Russian River, which was constructed by the agency in cooperation with the U.S. Department of Agriculture Soil Conservation Service, now called the Natural Resource Conservation Service. The work plan for this project was completed in 1958 and various components of the project were constructed over the ensuing 25 years. In addition to flood control channels, this project included Spring Lake and the lesser-known Matanzas, Pioneer, and Brush Creek reservoirs, and the agency continues to be responsible for maintenance of these facilities. The agency maintains approximately 75 miles of engineered flood control channels and has hydraulic easements on approximately 150 miles of natural channels or creeks. Flood control zone 1A, pictured here, is an example. It includes the Laguna de Santa Rosa and Santa Rosa Creek watersheds and has the greatest number of channels and is the focus of much of the stream maintenance program. Flood control zones 2A, which include the Petaluma River watershed, and flood control zone 3A, which includes the Sonoma Creek watershed, also have significant flood control facilities that are maintained by the agency. These channels are divided into four categories, red being engineered channels that are owned in fee by the agency, orange being engineered channels, and they're kind of yellow on the slide, but those are engineered flood control channels owned by other entities such as the City of Roanoke Park or the City of Petaluma. And we also have easements on modified, which are blue channels, and natural channels, which are blue and green. The primary distinction is between the engineered channels and the modified and natural channels. Activities in the modified and natural channels are typically on private property, and the agency has easements to maintain hydraulic capacity. And those activities in those channels are limited to vegetation or debris removal that at our discretion may cause flooding or property damage. In engineered channels, where the bulk of the work is, routine maintenance activities include sediment removal, bank stabilization, and vegetation management. Design principles for sediment removal include creating a low flow channel, minimizing impacts to riparian canopy, focused removal in channel collection areas, and in channel aquatic planting. Design principles for bank stabilization include minimizing hardscaping and establishing a riparian corridor by planting grasses and trees. For vegetation management, the long-term goal is to develop a mature riparian canopy that provides flood protection, riparian habitat, and water quality benefits. This approach is demonstrated by the photos comparing the historic maintenance approach in the 1997 photo on the left with the 2007 photo from the same site, which was achieved by managing and pruning natural recruitment of alders, willows, and maples. The stream maintenance program seeks to minimize environmental impacts through a series of maintenance principles. One, no unnecessary intervention. Two, understand the system and its processes. Three, consider adjacent land uses. Four, apply system understanding to maintenance activities. Five, manage for incremental ecologic improvement. And six, integrate maintenance activities towards sustainability. The mitigation approach developed for the stream maintenance program includes a three-tiered approach. Tier one is on-site restoration. Tier two is other reach-scale restoration within agency channels. And tier three is an off-site watershed restoration and erosion control program. As part of the program, the on-site mitigation approach ensures no permanent net loss of wetlands and waters. Off-site mitigation addresses temporal impacts, and the ratio of mitigated to impacted waters averaged 1.4 to 1 in 2008 and will exceed 1.1 to 1 annually. Off-site mitigation approach addresses erosion and sediment at their sources. On-site mitigation includes a tree planting program to develop riparian canopy, planting of understory shrubs and aquatic plants, geomorphic shaping of the channels to enhance habitats, removal of accumulated sediment barriers, removal of exotic species, and on-site mitigation occurs at a one-to-one impacted to restored. The Tier 3 mitigation approach includes the development of a watershed partnership program that includes local erosion control and land management projects, headwater source area projects, enhancement and restoration of stream and riparian habitats throughout the watershed. And the concept behind this is that 10% of our sediment removal and bank stabilization costs would be invested in a watershed partnership program grant fund that would we'd partner with other agencies to do erosion control and riparian enhancement in areas outside of our jurisdiction. And this includes 5-year monitoring of projects. And this program addresses some of the regional board staff's initial comments or question, which is, what are you doing to reduce erosion from entering your channels? Beneficial use impairments can also be addressed through this stream maintenance program. This includes direct impacts and benefits to the beneficial uses listed there, and indirect impacts and beneficial uses also listed on the screen. Additionally, the stream maintenance program helps to address current 303D listed impairments for sediment, temperature, nutrients, dissolved oxygen, pathogens, and metals. Additional benefits from this programmatic approach result from an integrated watershed approach based on watershed-wide understanding of resources, maintenance, and restoration actions are targeted for specific reach conditions to reduce spatial and temporal impacts, and the channels are adaptively managed for their specific conditions. Permitting for the stream maintenance program includes Clean Water Act Section 404 permits, 401 water quality certification, waste discharge requirements, and stream bed alteration agreement with California Department of Fish and Game. Clean Water Act Section 404 permit is a U.S. Army Corps of Engineers 10-year permit in the Russian River watershed, actually two permits, one in the Russian River watershed in coordination with the North Coast Regional Board, and one in the Petaluma River and Sonoma Creek watershed in coordination with the San Francisco Bay Regional Board. A biological assessment for wildlife and plant species in the stream maintenance program area was completed and submitted to U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and a Russian River biological opinion for stream maintenance activities was issued in September 2008 by National Marine Fisheries Service. For Section 401 and waste discharge requirements, the project area in the lower Russian River drainage area and the coastal drainages is being permitted by the North Coast Regional Board, and the Petaluma River and Sonoma Creek drainages are being permitted by the San Francisco Bay Regional Water Quality Control Board. Permitting with California Department of Fish and Game, we have an agreement for routine maintenance that was issued in 2006 that expires in 2011, and we submitted an amendment to that agreement to include our sediment removal activities, and application for a new 5-year agreement will be submitted in 2011. Other coordinating tasks with the Regional Water Quality Control Boards includes review and inclusion of potential stream protection policies into the stream maintenance program approach, consideration of new sediment TMDL in 2011 and how the SMP can address sediment management approaches, consideration of the Laguna Nutrient TMDL in partnership with the City of Santa Rosa for nutrient offset, and the agency is also concurrently revising its flood control design criteria to incorporate low-impact development and smart growth principles to reduce stormwater effects entering channels. And as part of this program, we'll also be developing a geographic information system and tracking system to automate reporting requirements to the regional board and to document and monitor conditions and resources. So next step are to continue permitting coordination with regional board staff and other regulatory agencies, prepare the final EIR and stream maintenance program manual in May, and present the EIR and stream maintenance manual to the agency's board for certification and approval in June, and present a discharge order to the regional board for consideration at the July 23rd meeting in Santa Rosa. And that concludes my presentation. I can answer any questions or comments you guys might have.
Okay. Thank you, John. Board member questions? Mr. Dunker?
Do you do all your own surveys? You work in conjunction with BFG or, you know, when you're evaluating your stream?
The consultant that did the, yes, and we did some in-house and some was conducted by our consulting firm.
And then who do you do your own work? Do you contract that out?
Most of the work is done in-house, but we also contract out. We do hire firms as well. And we use crews from Sonoma County Jail, supervises old crews. And we also have partnerships with other agencies, Sodiomi Resource Conservation District.
CCC? Do they have any?
We're working on an agreement with the North Bay Conservation Corps, North Bay, to also do some work for us. And we also have a new program starting this year. We're going to be using, starting a Sonoma Ecology Youth Corps this year. We'll have numerous crews of youth age 16 to 24 working with us in our channels, too.
Sounds like a lot of good work's going on. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Thank you.
The main reason I ask is I'm retired from the CCC, and my specialty was salmon restoration.
Oh, okay.
So this is something I know a little bit about.
Sign him up. Mr. Norton.
John, thanks for your presentation.
Thank you.
Can I ask you, where does your... when you look at watershed within the, say, the Sonoma County area, where do you start and stop? Do you start at headwaters and go to Russian River? Where does, because I...
This program will address maintenance of, routine maintenance in the channels that the water agency either owns or has easements to conduct maintenance. So it's only, it addresses those channels. However, like I mentioned, the Watershed Partnership Program, and that was one of the initial... questions or comments from regional board staff was, you know, fine. They recognize the need to do work in the channels, but what can you do to control erosion coming into the channels? And one of the ways we dealt with that was creating the Watershed Partnership Program, where we take, it's basically 10% of our sediment removal and bank repair costs, and those go to partnering agencies such as the Resource Conservation District, NRCS, other groups. We're working with numerous groups on that kind of stuff. And some of that's gone towards erosion control work or riparian plantings outside of our channel. So we only have jurisdiction to work in our channels. The way we created the nexus to work outside is through the Watershed Partnership Program.
The reason why I asked you, I grew up in Bennett Valley and used to swim and fish in the Kansas Creek Reservoir, mm-hmm. which I recall was dredged at least once in the 80s, I believe, because of the sedimentation.
Right.
And I don't believe there's any... There's almost no standing water in that reservoir now because of siltation. And can you maybe expand on the...
Actually, that reservoir was dredged recently again. I guess it was 3 years ago. And is now, it's not that... So the sediment's been removed, but it now operates as a flow-through reservoir,
right,
instead of an impoundment.
Can you... And I understand, too, that the sedimentation rate for the Santa Rosa Plain historically has been somewhat... The benchmark that's used for that is the amount of sedimentation on Matanzas Creek that went into that reservoir. At least I've seen that used in some of the published literature out there. And can you maybe expand on some of the sedimentation and difference in sedimentation in something like the Matanzas Creek? That's kind of an upper watershed type thing where then you go down and that those channels enter into... areas that were hydromodified in the, say, the 1960s and 50s, and then drop out into the Laguna, which is now the receiving end of sedimentation, subject to us on TMDLs and all that other kind of stuff.
Well, one of the areas of focus of our work is these areas, especially, you know, a lot of Santa Rosa really isn't that bad, but when you get down in Roner Park, the hills east of Roner Park are highly erosive, and all those channels come down, and right around, it seems like Snyder Lane is kind of the depositional area, and we continue finding ourselves doing work in those channels in Roner Park along Snyder Lane. So one of the things we're looking at is doing more regular routine and in kind of having in-channel sediment collection areas in those areas to and clean those areas out on an annual basis so that the sediment doesn't spread throughout an entire reach, and then you have to go and excavate an entire reach. So
and
more.
That's like the one at Grand Canyon Road?
Well, that's actually a constructed sediment basin, but right. Yeah, that's the exact concept.
That you guys
yeah.
Know what you do.
Yeah, and that's and just to keep the sediment, you know, remove it at a confined location to minimize your disturbance.
Along those same lines, too, looking down through those channels, with you mentioned that, and I actually applaud you for reestablishing some of the riparian vegetation and getting some of that shade back in there. Do you have criteria, because it ties back into our temperature impairments, and do you have criteria then for, and maybe could you explain more what that criteria is, percent canopy retention, native species, that kind of thing?
Well, what we're looking for vegetation management, really, I mean, our goal is to establish riparian canopy over our channels, and it might sound contradictory, but over the long term, that would reduce maintenance needs because we look at it as, you know, the canopy shades out invasive vegetation such as blackberries and cattails, also helps stabilize the banks, and then also has multiple, you know, habitat benefits. So we're looking at it for there's multiple benefits, and over the long term would reduce the level of maintenance.
But in detail wise, though, do you have a criteria for potential shade percentage of retention of shade then on these channels? Is there a goal?
No, we don't have a goal. It's, I mean, many of these, in a lot of channels, we are starting to get pretty good canopy. However, a lot of them have very little canopy. So our goal is to establish as much as we can at this point.
Because I think west of Fulton Road, you know, some of the channels out there that where was it Piner Creek and Santa Rosa
right.
Confluence, that's
right.
Pretty denuded of vegetation.
Right.
You know, has a lot of exposure and solar exposure, especially through summer.
Right.
And the $9,000 question for you is, what do you do with Luigia in the invasive standpoint? Luigia, to me, is a symptom of many problems.
Right.
Is part of this have a component of Luigia and?
Yeah, this does address Luigia to a degree. I think for the long term, you know, looking at probably the worst areas, the Laguna at Stony Point, and one of the things we're looking at there is further downstream. There's an area of an accumulated sediments that appears to be about 4 feet. So we're thinking that if we can remove that. The water surface elevation upstream near Stony Point would lower and make it less habitable for Luigia. It certainly is not the only cure, but yeah, I agree. I mean, probably over the long term, the best bet would be to develop canopy and put in and have low flow channels so that it's, I mean, the ideal.
Well, and it just strikes me that you could get that by doing that, you would have many bangs for the buck, right? That you would have, because we're looking at impairment from temperature, you're looking at invasives, you're looking at a lot of things, and plus maybe a riparian function that goes along with that as an added benefit and cream on the cake, that by doing that, then I think that all works to advantage. And
right.
Not that it's to you to try and cure the Luigia problem in the Laguna, but, you know, it is daunting. I think
yeah.
That a lot of what you're doing here is very, very good.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
John, question. In terms of guidelines or criteria for small trees growing now, providing canopy, become big trees. Do you like big trees in the channels, or how do you handle
them? Yeah, we really, the ideal trees are, you know, single trunk, trees such as alders pruned up along the, and I see if I can go back here. I mean, this is really, we kind of call our model reach. You have single trunk alders that shade out the channel so you don't get a lot of blackberry growth and also don't have a lot of reduced hydraulic capacity. And so that's kind of our model. And in current conditions on Santa Rosa Creek with the historic practices on the left, which was, you know, a lot of spraying and you know, historic flood control practices. And on the right, we're selecting for single trunk trees and pruning them up. And, you know, the multi-trunk trees such as arroyo willows are really, you know, one of the more problematic because they're multi-trunk. But we're selecting for other species of willows such as red willow and shining willow that grow in a more single trunk form. So that, you know, the single trunk trees along the bank help to stabilize the bank and also, you know, shade out the bank from blackberries and don't have a lot of reduced hydraulic capacity.
So for now, I'm on the right picture from the water's edge going up the bank. First big tree, it comes into that light green area between that big tree and the water coming back down. Is that something that you would just allow to grow and see what happens in there, or do you come back over time and keep it in this kind of condition?
No, we would allow those trees to grow and establish and hopefully and, you know, prune out multi-trunk willows and things like that from in between, but hopefully get to there.
Okay. Any other? Mr. Corbett.
Yeah, I just had one very brief question. I noticed that your mitigation for SMPs is 4-1 and then 1-1 annually, which is a good performance goal, but for restoration, it's 1 acre impacted to 1 acre restored. What's your performance criteria for restored? Is that just completion of the project, or do you independently analyze what's a restored?
We'd maintain them for 5 years, and I think the percentage was 75% of what main of survival of the planted species.
Okay. All right. We thank you for coming.
Okay. Thank you.
Appreciate it. We will go on to item 8, Yurok Tribe and Western Rivers Conservancy.
And let the record reflect I'm recused and leaving.
Okay. We'll toss you out. All right. Oh, we'll be voluntary when we toss.
Mr. Chairman, we have with us today to give a presentation Mr. Troy Fletcher, who, as many of you know, works with the Yurok Tribe, and Mr. Cam Tridick with Western Rivers.
Staff, this is an informational item.
This is simply an informational item. The board is no longer asked to make recommendations on projects receiving SRF funding. In this case, the Yurok approached us, and Western Rivers approached us and wanted to let you know about what they're proposing to the SRF fund.
With that, we want to thank you for the opportunity to give you some information briefly about our particular project that's before the SRF. It's in the SRF loan application process. And I want to thank you for this opportunity. And I also want to thank you for some of you and I understand staff coming to the Klamath River yesterday and spending some time with our tribal council and getting to see the river and going on a boat ride. I understand that was a good time. I appreciate that.
For those that weren't there, it's still a sore subject that some were there.
Yeah.
On a side note, I also want to say that we've had the privilege of working with Kat and Samantha on other items.
If I can go back here. I mean, this is really, we kind of call our model reach. You have single trunk alders that shade out the channel so you don't get a lot of blackberry growth. And also don't have a lot of reduced hydraulic capacity. And so that's kind of our model. And in current conditions on Santa Rosa Creek, with the historic practices on the left, which was, you know, a lot of spraying and you know, historic flood control practices, and on the right, we're selecting for single trunk trees and pruning them up. And, you know, the multi-trunk trees such as arroyo willows are really, you know, one of the more problematic because they're multi-trunk. But we're selecting for other species of willows such as red willow and shining willow that grow in a more single-trunk form. So that, you know, the single-trunk trees along the bank help to stabilize the bank and also, you know, shade out the bank from blackberries and don't have a lot of reduced hydraulic capacity.
So for now, I'm on the right picture from the water's edge going up the bank. First big tree it comes into that light green area between that big tree and the water coming back down. Is that something that you would just allow to grow and see what happens in there, or do you come back over time and keep it in this kind of condition? Where
no, we would allow those trees to grow and establish and hopefully, and, you know, prune out multi-trunk willows and things like that from in between, but hopefully get to there.
Okay. Any other? Mr. Corbett.
Yeah, I just had one very brief question. I noticed that your mitigation for SMPs is 4-1 and then 1-1 annually, which is a good performance goal, but for restoration, it's 1 acre impacted to 1 acre restored. What's your performance criteria for restored? Is that just completion of the project, or do you independently analyze what's a restored?
We'd maintain them for 5 years, and I think the percentage was 75% of what survival of the planted species.
Okay. All right. We thank you for coming.
Okay. Thank you.
Appreciate it.